Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Tonight brings game two of the Arizona Diamondbacks and Padres for baseball night in San Diego. And we've got Jesse Agler in studio because he's far better suited to talk about the team than he is to run it.
More practice, more BP, more drills, more this, more that.
Also in studio, we've got Randy Jones, who's here to impart his baseball wisdom on us and add some feng shui to the AMR studio.
This corner here.
Uh-huh.
And that corner there.
Right.
And stay out of there.
Yes.
No. Here, yes. There, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, broadcasting from the Randy Jones-approved, all feng shuied out AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Randy Jones.
I had no idea you were so into interior design.
Oh, yeah, feng shui. I mean, that's when I had the blanket, I mean, the beach towel.
Yeah.
I had it over here, you know, and I was talking about
putting it over there.
Well, no, the strikes, you know, where to throw the pitch on home plate.
Right.
This is a great illustrator.
So your point is, and by the way, happy baseball night in San Diego.
Yes, thank you.
Your point is that pitching is a lot like interior design.
Yes.
Work the edges, stay out of the middle.
You need some feng shui.
Yeah. Can we get an interior designer on the show to see if that makes any sense? Anybody know an interior designer?
I do.
Think I have a friend whose mom is a designer.
Yeah.
Oh, your mom?
No, a friend.
Oh, yeah, a friend.
Yeah.
Okay. It would be so great if your mom was an interior designer because I'd be like, hey, Blooper, get your mom on the phone.
Absolutely not.
And yeah, you'd be mortified.
No.
Come on.
Can we pretend your mom is an interior designer?
No.
All right. Welcome to Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines. We're live at the AMR studio at Petco Park. Hey, this is going to be a fun night tonight. You got the beach towel giveaway. It's baseball night in San Diego. Andrew Cashner is on the mound.
That is correct.
And this place is going to be jam-packed. You know how I know?
Hi.
Because look around, man. Even here at the store,
hey, the 90 store's minutes, even jam-packed.
100 minutes even
My
before
word.
First pitch, everybody's hanging out and having a good time. So thanks for coming in and checking out the show. We appreciate
it. I haven't seen one beach towel. Oh, there they are. Okay, thank you. Whoa. There's a lot of them up
yes,
there.
Yes, there are. Those are great. So everybody enjoy the beach towel. Welcome, and thanks for hanging out. Last night, a 4-2 win over the Arizona Diamondbacks. There is both a lot to talk about and not a lot to talk about from that game last night. It was a little bit weird, but first things first, it was a win. And
yes.
Now here tonight, you try and build upon it and say, hey, let's win two in a row for the first time in a while.
Yeah, when you do that, you got to start with the first one last night, took advantage of some Diamondback miscues, and that's what you're supposed to do. They want to give you extra outs, you know, those scenarios. Those are the games you should win. And so, you know, I was glad to see that. It wasn't like we just, you know, stomped all over the opposing pitcher, you know, we got some opportunities, and we scored runs. We even manufactured a run last night.
Yeah.
How about that?
Well, one guy did.
Well, Spangenberg did.
Can I call this the Spangenberg game? Is that like
an
okay thing to do from last night? I don't mean to sort of minimalize the contributions of the other guys, including Tyson Ross, who allowed just the two hits, though he walked five. But, like, I'm going to call it the Spangenberg game.
I like the way you said that. Only give up two hits. Oh, he walked five.
I mean, it's part of the comp. You can't say one without the other.
I guess not.
And you know, I was doing the game on TV last night. A lot of people were like, hey, he's only given up one hit or he's only given up two hits. Why aren't you making a bigger deal about that? And my thought was kind of like, well, I mean, he's got the five walks.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
the old adage of walk is as good as a hit.
As good as a single.
They're base runners.
Yeah.
You know.
On base percentage.
And that's five more base runners that he had to, you know, a couple double plays, kind of nifty double plays kind of help out too.
Yeah.
Love those.
Love the double plays.
Love
he got one in the
plays.
First. He got one a few innings later as well. Man, Clint Barm is so smooth on the infield.
Nice.
I feel comfortable. He, you know what he is? We've got these beach towels. You know what Clint Barm is to me? He is a blanket. He is a security blanket to me defensively because anytime the ball goes to his direction or he's part of that double play, a 4-6-3 or the 6-4-3 we saw him both last night,
right.
It's like, okay, he's got this down. And Spangy, for his credit too, doing a nice job up the middle at second base. But, boy, do I feel, like, so comfortable with Clint Barmus at shortstop. And I imagine as a pitcher, boy, you love guys like that.
Love a veteran guy out there that, you know, he reads the signals well, anticipates well where the ball may go. You know, he knows what's going on out there, and that's really good to see.
A guy on Twitter, Mickey, he said he called it the Spangen game. There you go.
There you go.
Instead of Spangenberg.
I like that.
Spangen game. That's nicely
done.
Well,
3-hit score, 2 runs, steal a couple of bases. He helped us, you know, manufacture the runs.
He was in the middle of everything.
Yeah.
Any night when you got two infield hits, and you steal two bases and you score a couple, like you're doing your thing.
And good job by Tyson Ross on the sacrifice too.
Yeah,
very good.
A couple of times, right?
Very, very good.
Yeah, you love seeing that. We didn't see a lot of it earlier this year.
No, we have not.
It took a while even for the Padres to get their first sacrifice hit from a pitcher this season, but now a couple last night from Tyson Ross and a couple over the last week, and everything seems to be going in a good direction there. It's one of those things they're always working on.
Yep.
I saw the pitchers taking BP today. You know what else I saw the pitchers do today before batting practice? PFP.
Oh, yes.
Pitchers fielding practice today. You don't see that a ton during the season.
No, but every once in a while, that's a good idea. And prototypically, usually there's something that Skipper didn't like that he saw, and yeah, that's why they're doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's good and healthy. We always used to do that. Or somebody would mess up a play, and we'd just shake our heads on the bench because we knew the next day or a couple of days later,
yeah,
we're going to be out there early working on it.
Something's going to happen with that. Yeah. All right, we got some tweets coming in. And as a reminder, you can use the hashtag to join the conversation on Twitter every day, PadresSH. That's the hashtag. You tweet your question, your comment, whatever. We'll pull them up on the screen. We'll talk about them if they're worth talking about and have some fun with everybody. I'm being real.
You are.
It's not every tweet, believe me.
You're being blunt. Hey, you're being blunt.
If it's not worth talking about, we'll just ignore it.
We're going to ignore you.
It might not even get on the screen.
That's correct.
That's the way this goes. It's a meritocracy, really.
Yes.
In the truest sense. Only the best tweets, or once in a while, the semi-best.
Yeah,
tweets.
So we'll Bill Center, don't even bother sending a tweet in. We're not going to read it.
Jellyman. Jellyman is on Twitter. He went emoji heavy on this one. And speed kills. That's his comment about last night. He's got the big exclamation points there. Way to go, Spangy. But you're right, man. There's something, I don't know what it is, but there's something I think inside most of us as baseball fans that plays like last night and what Spangenberg was able to do excite us more than almost anything else. I don't know what it is.
That's being aggressive. When you see guys at speed like that, making things happen, then an overthrow, he scores a run, being aggressive on the bases, that gets you fired up. Anytime you see that, I think it's a feel-good. You like that.
There are a lot of fans, I think, who are more energized. They get more a shot of adrenaline from something like yesterday where Spangenberg steals third and then comes home on the throwing error all at the same play than they are over, like, a home run that a guy hits. Well, I mean, this is sometimes more exciting than that, which is crazy when you think about
it. Well, you know, like you talked about, we hadn't really seen it where Spangy steals second, and now Tyson Ross gets to bunt him over to third, and then a fly ball score. He scores on a short fly ball. All about the speed. It's beautiful.
It was. It was beautiful. And a nice job by him. By the way, the Matt Kemp at bat and the sacrifice fly that you just referenced, Kemp, he's 0-2. You know, he's 0-2. He fights back. And everybody in the building knows he's trying to hit a fly ball, including the pitcher,
that's
obviously.
Right.
So that makes it a little bit more of a difficult thing to do. You're pitching differently, right? You're trying to make it tough for him to hit a fly ball in that situation. That was a really good plate appearance by Matt Kemp.
I agree. Yeah. And to get that run in, that was a big run.
It was a huge run.
Big run.
A couple of big runs in this game for the Padres. A 4-2 victory. Another Spangenberg tweet. This one from John Hoover, 619. Mr. Vacuum says, at times, Spangy reminds me of a poor man's David Eckstein. Thoughts. Hmm. Why we got to go poor man's? Why can't he just remind you of David Eckstein?
Yeah.
It's not like David Eckstein was a 360 hitter. I don't think we have to go poor man's here.
I mean, how about a young David Eckstein?
Yeah.
That's what it reminds me of.
Okay.
A young one.
Young David Eckstein.
Yeah.
Eckstein played for a long time, didn't he?
I know.
I feel like he was one of those guys like pushing 40. And it might have just been that he was around forever.
Yeah, that's probably was. He's probably 32, but he felt like he should be 40.
Small, scrappy white guy. Maybe that's what he meant. I don't know. But, yeah, no, I mean, he's one of those little lightning bug guys.
No, it's good.
Corey Spangenberg, young is the operative word, I think, that you just mentioned. That's a good thing to remember with him because we're sort of watching him develop.
We are.
He's not the guy he was when we first saw him at the big league level last September. He's not the guy he was when we saw him at the beginning of this season. He's not the guy he's probably going to be
in
a couple of months. He's developing.
What Spangenberg did such a great job is last month when he was up here last year, he kind of realized maybe where some of his weaknesses. I think during the offseason he got stronger. He worked out. He came to spring training, I know, more mentally prepared for the challenge of making the big league ball club. But I just thought he looked a little bit stronger, a little more endurance. And I think he realized that's what he would need, you know, to go through the 6 months, 162 games. And I've been really impressed with what he's done.
Nice job at second base, too,
yes,
because he was a guy you weren't necessarily sure what the position was defensively and how that was all going to shake out. And I'm more than comfortable with him
too
at second base.
I
really
agree.
Am from a defensive standpoint. Blooper is our crack researcher, of course. He reports that David Eckstein's last 2 years here in San Diego, 2009 and 10, he was 34 and 35.
There you go.
The last two seasons of his career. So not quite 40. But, hey, if you hang around Until 35, you did a nice job.
You've done a great job.
All right, so there you go. A young David Eckstein. That's maybe a good way to put that. All right, so we're off and running here. We've already gotten to some tweets. We're having some fun. We got plenty more to talk about. After the break, I want to get you going on Tyson Ross and on the bullpen last night. You saw the Mauer, Benoit, Kimbrel thing, 7-8-9. Worked out really nicely for Pat Murphy and the Padres. Also, we're going to get a little bit more intel on this weekend's opponent, the Arizona Diamondbacks. Our buddy Steve Gilbert from MLB.com will come down, hang out a little bit. He covers the Diamondbacks, so we'll talk to him about the Snakes. We got all of that plus more of your questions and comments coming up. It is a baseball night in San Diego, and tomorrow is Sunday Fun Day right here at Petco Park. Dress in your best red, white, and blue for the America-themed Sunday Fun Day. It is the newest party space at Petco Park, and every fan who purchases a $25 package receives a America-themed koozie, a drink ticket, and a game ticket for tomorrow afternoon's 1:10 start against the Diamondbacks. Get your tickets at Padres.com/Sunday Funday. Padres.com/Sunday Funday. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the pitching part of last night's game. This is Padres Social Hour presented by United.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the AMR studio at Petco Park. It's Padres Social Hour with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler talking about last night's 4-2 win over the Arizona Diamondbacks. Ken Rosenthal of Fox Sports had some interesting thoughts on the Padres' possibility at the trade deadline. I should say possibilities. We'll talk about those coming up in a little bit. We're discussing a lot of Corey Spangenberg. Our buddy Kevin at Park at the Park says, Spangenberg is so fast. How fast is he? He already scored a run tonight. Hey-o, 7-10 game. So he has not actually done that. But I like where your head's at. I think Kevin moved to, like, Minnesota, by the way. The guy, he used to live out at the Park at the Park.
Right.
I think he actually lived in the park, and now he lives in Minnesota.
In the park?
I don't know if in there's Minnesota? A park there. Yeah. They got that big spoon sculpture, right? Isn't that a big thing in Minneapolis?
Yeah.
Like with the cherry or something like that? Mm. Maybe he lives there now. Kevin, we miss you, man. Hope all is well. Tyson Ross last night. Kind of weird, right? First couple innings tough. That third inning, three walks. Goldschmidt gets the hit, drives into, gives up a hit to the pitcher, but then really settled in and retired 9 out of the last 10 he faced.
Yeah, I did a really good job there. But, you know, the problem with that third inning, the three walks, get that pitch count up, Jesse.
Yeah.
And that's what he didn't do the start before that. He is very, very efficient. But all of a sudden, you know, you're looking now, all of a sudden you have 50 pitches in the first three innings. You know, and it's kind of destined. It's telling you, you're probably not going to go deep in this ball game.
Right.
Bullpen, kind of get ready. Yeah, I mean, you know the scenario. But it was his last three innings were really important, I thought, to slam the door like he did. It looked really, really good. To hand the ball off to your seventh inning guy, your eighth inning guy, and your closer. We haven't seen that enough this year.
And that's exactly it. He ran the pitch count up, but we're not asking Tyson Ross to be Randy Jones. We're not asking him to go the distance. If these starters with this bullpen on most nights can go six and have the lead, I feel really good.
Well, give up two runs. And I think one of the key things, too, is score early. And that's the one thing. You know, with Andrew Kastner on the mound, and I really like to, you know, hopefully see these guys to the first time through the lineup, that we get a couple of runs for Kastner. Go out there and pitch for the lead a little bit. It might change the whole scenario. And, you know, in talking to Cash, he might be he might be breaking out a splitter. He's got a little pretty good little split finger.
Well, are you breaking news?
No, I'm just a little bit of news, but
you're waiting 15 minutes into the show. You're telling me I might see you do something out of Andrew Kastner.
But I'm waiting for the pitching segment.
If you've got some interesting nugget like that,
well, that's what I waited. You know.
So let's talk about this for a second. So you think? We've seen Cash. It looks like this year, and he's pitching tonight, as you said. He's trying to figure some things out.
He's having trouble with the breaking ball. I mean, his breaking ball's not been good, and you know, and that's a hit or miss with him, and it always has been. I mean, if it's really good, he'll go to it. If it's not, he'll just put it in the can, put it in his back pocket, won't use it.
Right.
And so he's been playing around with, you know, he's got pretty big hands, so that split-finger fastball is something I think he's been playing around with, and now he's finally feels comfortable enough where he has confidence he wants to try it, maybe throw a few tonight, and it'll be interesting to watch and see if he does.
All right, that's something I will keep an eye on.
Me too.
I mean,
like all I told him, I said, you know, like I'd really like to have him on as a post-game guest on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah. No, I like how you're booking guests for other shows.
I've only been waiting a year for it. Come on.
Oh, he's never come on?
Kidding me.
We've had him on Social Hour many times. He's great.
I understand that. But
so you're telling me he says yes to Blooper and no to you?
No, he hasn't pitched well enough yet for me to have him on.
Oh, on the post
game show.
That's what
I'm talking about.
I see what you're doing.
Yeah, see where I'm headed?
I see what you're
doing. So I swung by there just telling him, I said, really like to have you on the post game.
Because you just threw like 8 shutout innings and you struck out 11.
Now you're talking.
Oh, I'm slow. I apologize.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right. So starter tonight, Andrew Cashner. Started last night, Tyson Ross. We mentioned the going six. Then he handed it off to Maurer, Benoit, Kimbrell. Mm. 7, 8, 9. What, like one base runner allowed
by those three guys?
They are our firehouse subs of the game. Not a sub of the game. Multiple sandwiches all around. Subs of the game. We're spreading it out. Maurer, Benoit, and Kimbrell. 7, 8, 9.
Good job, man.
It's the best, right? Like as a starter. And I know this wasn't the case really when you were pitching, but like as a starter now, if you're like, all right, I'm leaving after six with the lead, and I'm going Maurer, Benoit, Kimbrell the way they're throwing right now, I'm like, all right, I feel okay.
Yeah, but once again, we got to see this scenario more. What the starters can't do is get 4 or 5. Now your hand, right. That's not the same handoff.
No, it's not.
You got to have a lead after six. Then we can hand it off. And that's what our starters got to do a better job of is take a charge of that lead. Maybe get a couple of early runs, slam the door on the other team. Don't let them back in the game. Keep the momentum on our side. Those are little things they have to do, and that can make all the difference in the world as we try to get a winning streak going.
That's like, what we want.
That's what I want is a winning streak.
All right, so there you go. Brandon Maurer, Joaquin Benoit, and Craig Kimbrell, our Firehouse Subs. Subs of the game, make sure to check out the new edition of Firehouse Subs at Petco Park or visit any of their San Diego locations located in Point Loma, Escondido, and Encinitas. There you go, our subs of the game, plural, because all three of them did a really nice job. Boy, by the way, the electricity in this place, when Kimbrell comes in a save situation, it's enjoyable. That's like a fun thing to be a part of.
It sure is.
It really is. So Cashner's going to throw some splitters maybe tonight.
That's what I'm hoping. I mean, if you get a little two-seamer he's talking about, he got to stay with that. But, you know, he said he really, you know, he's got a little confidence in it now, and I hope he gets the opportunity.
Man.
I'd like to see him try it.
People could really learn something from watching this show.
We'll
who knew?
See. Yeah, who
I
knew?
Didn't think that was part of the deal. I thought we were purely entertainment. I didn't realize we were infotainment.
Well, you know, every once in a while you get a nugget.
That's it. A blind squirrel, something like that. Hey, take a break. Come back. We'll talk about Ken Rosenthal. He had some interesting things to say about the Padres vis-a-vis the trade deadline. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Also, more of your questions and comments. Again, on the Twitter, use hashtag PadresSH, #PadresSH. We'll let you know what Ken Rosenthal had to say about the Padres and the trade deadline when we come back. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Nuggets of information. More infotainment when we return. It's Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Hey, Randy Jones.
Yes.
You ever read Gas Lamp Ball?
Nope.
Of course.
Why?
Just no.
No reason?
No reason. Check. Just wondering. Just curious. I do.
Really?
Yeah. They
good
do a nice
for you.
Job. Yeah, no, they do a nice job.
Really?
They're good guys, too.
Are they?
Yeah, and gals.
I like it.
Yeah. You should check it out sometime.
I'm a little busy.
I know. You're very, very busy. Welcome back, Padres Social Hour. presented by United Airlines. He's crushed, by the way.
Who?
You can just no one.
Oh,
no,
stop.
Don't worry about it. Padres a 4-2 win over the Diamondbacks last night. And going for 2 in a row here this evening. Andrew Cashner will be out on the mound. And who knows, maybe a split-fingered fastball. We were talking about last night in the 7-8-9, Maurer, Benoit, Kimbrell. Jellyman says, all right, standard 7-8-9 formula last night. Talk about making something sound more complicated than it is, using the word formula. I like it. But he wants to know if you see Maurer and Benoit switch innings in that situation. We've seen Maurer in the eighth at times this year in those sort of eighth-inning role spots. But what do you make of how to use those guys?
Well, right? I don't fix something that ain't broke.
Yeah, that's me.
Okay? And Benoit's been pretty comfortable in that eighth spot. That's where he was last year, majority of the time. You know, once you get rolling – and that's the key. I mean, like I say, when you, all of a sudden you got a guy coming up short, going 5 1/3, that changes the whole dynamics of the bullpen. It's not a 7th, 8th, 9th inning. That's when you have a lead or it's tied score. So that's the key is in those first five or six innings to get that lead, whatever it might be, so you can use that bullpen like we want to.
Yeah, I'm not messing with it. I don't see any reason to.
I mean, why would you want to flip-flop him?
Right.
I don't get that.
You know, look, if there's a night when Benoit isn't available, I am more than comfortable with Brandon Mauer throwing
the eight. Now, that's different if you need somebody needs a night off. Or it might be if Kimbrell goes, you know, four nights in a row.
Exactly.
You know, you probably might see Benoit in there as the closer. Sure. That'll change the seventh and eighth innings, obviously.
But if everybody is up, if everybody's available, if everybody's ready, I don't see.
I keep it right where it's at.
That's me too. All right, yeah. Alex, this is a fun one. He says, for next year's home run derby, do you think anybody can hit it over the bleachers and into the park at the park? He's talking about the bleachers out there in right center field. I don't know, man. I'm so excited, though. I said it to Mud last night on TV. We showed an old Justin Upton homer when he was with Arizona, you know, onto the third deck of this building.
Right.
And I've thought about it a lot. The home run derby is going to be so fun here because you're going to get to see balls hit to places that we never see.
I agree.
Here at Petco, and that's thrilling. I want to see somebody clear the whole building. That's what the Western Metal.
If they use the right baseball, I think that. That might be an opportunity.
What are you suggesting about the home run derby?
They're just the balls.
Yeah, no, of course.
Of course.
But, you know, that's part of the show, the spectacle.
That's what you want to see.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't want to see, you know, these wall scrapers that are just getting over. I want to see, you know, monster shots.
Yeah.
Monster shots.
I think we got a real opportunity to do that next year. Here.
Yeah, I think so for sure in the home run derby. One of the guys that could very well be launching, of course, is Giancarlo Stanton of the Marlins. But bad news, broken bone in the hand. He's out 4 to 6 weeks. And this means that Giancarlo Stanton is probably not going to play at Petco Park this year. The Marlins are here homestand after the All-Star break. I'm not so good at math, but, you know, 4 to 6 weeks from now means like the end of July at the earliest. And so he's probably not going to be back
when they're here. More toward the 6 weeks than the 4 weeks with a hand injury like that.
And I'm a little conflicted about this one. Now, easier to win those games without Stanton. But he is one of those guys, right, that I think is a fan. Don't you want to see? You know, especially when the team only comes once. No, you're
not
good.
As,
you're
not
clear.
As a former pitcher, no.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
You stay on the DL, until the league we get done. Then he can come right back off that following Monday.
Yeah.
Go get him.
Okay.
You know.
I don't know. I would have liked to see him in person, you know.
Go buy a ticket and go watch him then.
Well, I got to be here. That's what I'm saying.
Take a day off.
So you're
go watch him.
Go up to Dodger Stadium, watch him hit like three home runs against
there you
them.
Go.
All right, no, you're right. That would be far more enjoyable. But, yeah, probably not going to be playing. And, you know, look, I mean, the win is the primary thing for the Padres. And so if they're able to win three of those four or all four of those games more easily because Stanton isn't there, that goes right into the trade deadline. You know, I'm all thumbs up. I'm all thumbs up. That's true. Speaking of the trade deadline, we mentioned this. Ken Rosenthal of Fox Sports had a little bit of a report today about the Padres and sort of their thinking when it comes to the trade deadline. Every day on the show, right? Are they buyers? Are they sellers? Are they buyers? Are they sellers? And I said, well, it's June 27th. First of all, so let's slow down a little bit. But Ken Rosenthal reports the Padres are, in his words, taking it day to day. They have discussed both buying and selling. And let me tell you, this doesn't surprise me because if you're A.J. Preller, you've got a plan for either way. We've learned this about A.J. He's going
to
be ready for whatever contingency exists. And so if it gets to the point where they think, hey, let's buy, he's got a buy plan. If it gets to the point where they think they need to sell, he's going to have a sell plan.
He's going to have a sell plan. You know, and him and Don Welke have had many conversations about this. You got to be ready for either one. And like you say, it's early. It's June 27th. You've got another month, and a lot can change in 4 weeks. You know that, and I know that.
Absolutely. An awful lot can change one way or the other. Rosenthal did continue, though, sort of suggesting what the Padres would be interested in if they were buyers and what they might do if they were sellers. He said if they were buying, shortstop and a left-handed bat. Shortstop and a left-handed bat would be
sense.
The – yeah, of course. That's no surprise.
Yeah.
If they're selling, he suggested, hey, the big pieces could be on the move, Justin Upton being the most obvious because he's a free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah, and the other free agent we have is Ian Kennedy.
That's it.
He's going to be a free agent at the end of the year as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, Upton, I think we all knew that, right? When Justin Upton was traded here, you had an understanding of, all right, he's going to be a free agent at the end of this season. Let's ride it out, see what happens.
Exactly.
And to be fair, we're still riding it out and seeing what happens. Obviously, he's as valuable a piece as this team has at the trade deadline, but he's also maybe as valuable a piece as they have in the clubhouse when it comes to trying to win games.
I agree.
And so that's why it'll probably be a tough decision as to whether they buy or sell.
It's All-Star break, and I got a funny feeling we might have a pretty good idea.
Okay. All right. So you seem to know a lot more than I do today, which is the usual.
I just think that's going to be a really good indication.
It's a good time. It's a good mark on the calendar.
It is.
Take a step back. Take a look. Because remember, while there will be a handful of deals, I'm sure, that take place around baseball right at that deadline on July 31st, if you are out in front of the trade market, maybe you can get more value for a guy, you know, before things start to thin out a little bit and before other moves are made. So
well,
it's that cat or mouse game.
It's like before All-Star break, we're on the road. That
long
whole
trip.
Time, long trip.
St. Louis,
hot
Pittsburgh,
trip.
And Texas.
Hot trip.
Oh, my
then
gosh.
Then you have All-Star break, and you come back, and then we're at home for a little length of time.
Yeah, Colorado, San Francisco, Miami.
And I think, you know, instead of trying to make that decision, maybe in that All-Star break, it might be that next homestand is when you really take a long, hard look and make your decision and you know, when you evaluate where you want to go.
If the Padres on that long trip to St. Louis, Pittsburgh, and Texas – going into the break, if they have a miserable road trip, it could accelerate things.
Yes.
If they have a hot road trip, it could certainly accelerate things the other way.
That's right.
It's all about wins and losses and what takes place between now and then. But you're right. I think the All-Star break is it's one of those, all right, let's take a step back. Let's really assess this thing.
That's where the gauge, usually those days right there, you do a little assessment of the first half, yeah. You know, and then you make that decision.
The ceremonial midpoint of the season.
It is.
It is not the mathematical midpoint.
That's right.
First half, the second half. We get to have that argument every day again. When we say the first half of the season, are we referring to the first 81 games, or are we referring to the games played before the All-Star break? Where do you fall in on that? If I said to you, hey, the first half of the season, do you mean that is mathematically 81 games?
No, or just the All-Star break.
Before the All-Star break.
Because that's
gas lamp ball, is it before the All-Star break? All-Star break. It's not 81 games.
It is. It's All-Star break.
Yeah.
And a lot of players will reassess, and they like start brand new the second half.
Right.
They try to clear the slate if they struggled in the first half. To try to clear the memory banks. Okay, second half. Let's have a strong second half. And that's after the All-Star break.
I agree with you for what it's worth. To me, when I refer to the first half of the season, I'm referring to the games that took place prior to the All-Star break, not the 81.
That's right.
We don't have to be that literal-minded.
I hope not.
Expand your mind. Donna on Twitter has a question about the Ken Rosenthal report. She says, hey, I can see trading Upton and possibly Shields, but why Kimbrel? He mentioned all, you know, the possible, you know, big pieces. I don't want to see it get to any of that, and I don't think James Shields would be on the move after signing in free agency.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, with Kimbrel, I would say if the team really struggles between now and then and they aren't playoff contenders, you don't necessarily, quote-unquote, need an all-world closer.
And it kind of depends on what value you're getting.
Right, of course.
It really does.
You don't rush to do it.
No, I mean, not in a hurry.
But if somebody is like, man, the difference for us – between maybe making the playoffs or not, or being a World Series contender or not, is getting a shutdown closer, and they're willing to give you some crazy package.
And let's
you got to think about.
I think you're going to wait to the last second to kind of make this decision, Jesse. I mean, you know, and all of a sudden, if you get into sell mode, you know, then you're telling everybody, okay, well, it doesn't look good for the second half, yada yada. You know what I'm saying? And that's a tough decision to make. So we got to play a lot of baseball before. You know, that assessment's got to be made.
No doubt. All right, we got a lot of good questions coming in. We'll get to those. When we return, though, I'm going to talk a little bit about the Diamondbacks, the Arizona Ball Club, who is here. Steve Gilbert, MLB.com, is going to join us. He does an outstanding job covering the Snakes, and we'll get his view on what's going on with their ball club. Talk about making trades. They're moving some pieces. Tony La Russa and Dave Stewart, they're pushing all of the buttons and pulling the levers, and the smoke is coming out of the top of the building at Chase Field, and they're making all kinds of trades and transactions.
I saw Tony in the dugout last night. La Russa's here.
Yeah, no? Yeah, he's here. He's in the building.
Out.
Dave Stewart, too.
Yeah.
What a nice guy, by the way. That, apropos of absolutely nothing. Dave Stewart, such a gentleman.
Should have seen him on the mound.
Oh, no. Scary, right?
Woo.
But really
wasn't
nice
a
guy.
Gentleman at all.
You know,
on the mound.
You don't need a guy to be
I
a gentleman on the mound. Exactly.
That's why I love it.
Hey, do you know an all-star mom? Well, Arm & Hammer and OxiClean, the official laundry detergent and stain fighter of Major League Baseball, are going to recognize one all-star mom and send her and her family to the 2015 All-Star Game in Cincinnati. So go to allstarmom.com and tell us what makes your mama so special. Allstarmom.com. We'll take a break. Come back. Steve Gilbert, MLB.com, right after this.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines with Randy Jones of Jesse Agler. Padres and Diamondbacks game two of a three-game series tonight here at Petco Park. And to talk a little bit more about the Snakes.
The Snakes.
Steve Gilbert, MLB.com. I saw a snake today, an actual snake.
Really? Where'd you go by the zoo?
Balboa Park, yeah. Well, not in the zoo, like hiking in that area.
Rattlesnake?
No.
That was a
gopher
snake. Kidding me, a bit of rattlesnake, he wouldn't be here right now.
You're right about that. You are right about that. I'd still be running.
Yeah.
I'd be like halfway up the coast.
Hey, did you get your beach towel yet?
I did not get my beach towel.
They'll hand it out in the press box later on. Right. After you know, we have sure all the fans get them.
We have a lot of beach in Arizona. We just don't have a lot of water.
You got a lot of sand.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Man. That's what I'm talking about. A lot of beach, but not a lot of water.
Steve Gilbert is on Twitter, at Steve Gilbert MLB. He does an expert job covering the Diamondbacks, who are certainly an interesting team to cover these days. You've got an active front office, as we were just alluding to. We've seen a Trumbo trade that was certainly significant. I imagine we may see some other moves coming down the line. You've got Yasmani Tomas, who seems to be developing nicely. And, oh, yeah, the Triple Crown caliber MVP candidate in Paul Goldschmidt, who appears to just be sort of doing business as usual so far this year.
Yeah, you know, I think the it's an interesting team to cover because the front office it does things a little differently than other front offices in this day and age. They're not as stat-heavy, sabermetric-heavy, and I think you saw that recent trade that with the Braves where they essentially sold their number one pick from last year was something that the rest of the industry kind of raised their eyebrows about. But they just see things differently, so it makes it kind of interesting to cover.
They're baseball people.
Yeah, old school, man. It's Dave Stewart and Tony La Russa.
You start with La Russa and everybody there, and I get it. You know, but like, you know, lately, you know, they've been playing a lot better. You know, and I'm always checking the pitching, and it just seemed like this last little winning streak, actually the starting pitching's been a little bit better.
Yeah.
And that might be the really, really the main part of that little winning streak they've been on.
I think so. For, you know, early in the season, the starting pitchers weren't going deep in games, putting pressure on the bullpen, and it just kind of snowballs from there when that happens. But the last few times through the rotation, the starters have done a nice job. And that's kept them in ball games, and that's that has made the difference. They just can't seem to get over that 500 hump.
What, 11 times?
11 times since the last time they were at 500. They've been there. I got to tell you, Chip Hale's about done with us asking about the 500 mark, too. So no one will be happier than him when they get over the mark.
Aren't you coachable? Quit asking him. Come on.
I understand.
Give the guy a break.
He's got to ask the question.
Come on.
Get out of Chip Hale's locker and let him do his job. So what? Since like April 24th, the Diamondbacks have 11 times been within a game of 500. And they're 0-11 in those games, including 2 days ago against the Rockies when they had a lead late and they couldn't squeeze it. Although a lead late in Colorado doesn't really mean anything.
No, it probably is going to be raining too, so you can always figure out.
How about that, man?
19 hours. They've had 19 hours of rain delays so far
this year. The
Rockies.
That's scary.
Miserable. I've said it once. I've said it 100 times. They need to put a roof on Denver and a roof on Arlington.
He wants a roof on everything.
No, just on those two. And also I think the Colorado Rockies should be in the American League. I want to sell them to the American League. And then it's a DH place that they belong in the American League. They're like emotionally an American League team, philosophically an American League team with that ballpark. You put them in the AL, and then it's 16 teams in one league again and 14 in the other, and then we can get rid of interleague play once and for all.
Ooh.
Commissioner Jesse, that's one of my plans.
Wow.
You give the Rockies to the AL.
Did you hear that little blitz you just went
on? I mean, there was a lot of stuff there.
I'm sure glad you're here because nobody believed me, I guess.
That was a lot. That was a lot right there. It was a mouthful. Yeah.
Do you like, as somebody who covers the games and sees the teams as much as you do, all these games in the division, the 18 or 19 games against the different opponents?
You're asking somebody who lives in Arizona if they like coming to San Diego nine times a year? I'm going to go with the answer is yes. You know?
Well said, man.
But no, I understand the point, and I don't know what it's like for fans. You get to covering the game and you forget what it's like to be a fan. So I don't know how they feel about having to watch the Diamondbacks nine times or Diamondback fans watching Padres teams nine times. But I'll tell you, in this division, the travel is very nice. I don't know if I'd say that in other divisions.
But all right, if you look at the Arizona Diamondbacks, you know, who's the one player that's really kind of impressed you here this first half that's got your attention?
Besides Paul Goldschmidt.
That's right.
Yeah, we always have to say that. But besides Paul Goldschmidt, Tomas has. He's Monty Tomas. And when it comes to spring training, here's a guy who signs a $68.5 million contract, comes over from Cuba, his first time in America, trying to adjust to a new language, new culture, and struggles.
Not a third baseman.
Not a third baseman, but he goes out there and he tries, and he works hard during spring. I mean, constantly working on taking ground balls. It just wasn't working
for him.
But, he did a much better job when he came up than he did during spring training at third, but still not, an average third baseman.
Looks better in right field.
And they put him in right field, and he's making some nice catches, two nice catches last night.
He really did.
And during spring training, he was a guy that went the opposite way a lot of ground ball singles to right. And you kind of started to hear the chuckles like, they spent $68 million for a guy that punch and Judy hit it to the right side. And now he's driving the ball more, and he's hitting with authority. And he's popular with his teammates because they appreciate he's trying to learn English. They appreciate that he's working hard, and he's just always in a good mood.
That's awesome.
Always, you know, has a positive mindset on things.
It was certainly a guy the Padres seemed to be in the mix for. It was a name we kicked around a lot this winter. Steve is on Twitter at SteveGilbertMLB. Robbie Ray pitched last night. We've now seen him twice in the last week. He's an interesting guy, and the Padres have handled him pretty well. But in his other starts, he's looked almost unhittable at times. I guess you just don't see a lot of lefties that can get it up there to 95, 96, which he seems to be able to do.
And that's one of the things that attracted them. You know, they could have done that Didi Gregorius trade and gotten Shane Green, but they liked the lefty that threw hard. He's still trying to master that breaking pitch.
Right.
They feel like if he can master that breaking pitch, then he can really put it together because his fastball and his change are pretty good.
He gets on top of the fastball real nice, but he still gets under that breaking ball a little bit and watching him. You know, but like you say, there is quite a bit to work with there. I mean, you got a left-hander that can throw 95, 96, that can throw strikes, knows where to put it. He's just not letting it go. He's got an idea what he's doing.
And
with
a young guy, too. I mean, he's still got a, you know, learning.
Yeah. There's a lot of there's potential there.
Upside, well, we call that in the scouting world, RJ.
Upside, sorry.
A lot of upside for Robbie Ray.
In the scouting world.
One more for Steve Gilbert. And I asked this out of total left field. I haven't heard anything. It probably sounds ridiculous to ask, but is there any scenario in which they move Goldschmidt? I mean, do they ever get around to a point where they say we got to blow this thing up and we can get anything we want?
Did you have to ask that? You had to ask that.
I just,
you know, he not only is he good, and not only is he good off the field, and they love everything about him. His contract is very friendly for them, so I can't see a situation right now. I can't envision a situation now where they would move.
There's no doubt. I think if not the best player in the National League right now, he's right there.
And he's, you watch him on a daily basis, and it's his consistency and his routine, how hard he works. I wrote a story recently about his mental approach. He feels like at 27, there's only so much more you can do to improve physically. So mentally was the next frontier for him. So he hired a mental coach, and he's been studying, you know, that kind of stuff to see if he can get better in that way. And you know what? That's what it's like in a big league. You're always trying to get better.
Always.
Because if you're not, you're falling behind.
It's amazing. It seemed like every year, more years I pitched, the more mental the game got.
Sure.
And it might have been 50%, but, you know, give me 5 years in the big leagues, it was 90% mental.
Yeah.
The physical part was there. You know what you had. Now it's mentally how you handle it.
Yeah, and handling failure for a hitter,
and
stuff. And if you watch him, he very rarely shows emotion on the field. He's able to kind of put that at bat behind him and go out in the field, and that's something that some guys really can't.
The one thing you notice when he gets to the plate, that short stroke, powerful short stroke.
Yeah.
And being a former starting pitcher, that'll get my attention quicker than anything else.
He steals bases too.
Yeah.
For a big guy, because he studies film and sees what a guy's delivery is like, what he can do. I mean, because a lot of his steals are without a throw because he's able to kind of read the pitcher and picks up little things.
Interesting stuff. Hmm. And one of the top players in all of baseball. Always good catching up with Steve Gilbert. Somehow, even though the Padres and the Diamondbacks have played 74 games against one another this year, this is our first conversation with Steve. He's on Twitter, at Steve Gilbert MLB, favorite.
Or do you have a Twitter?
You have to tweet this day and age.
That's
another thing about Paul Goldschmidt. No social media.
None.
Doesn't have anything
to
do with social media.
It's a throwback. He's old school.
I like his attitude.
All right. Always good to see you, Steve, man. Thanks for coming down.
Thanks, Steve.
It's my pleasure.
Credit, by the way, some of these road reporters, they'll call in from the press box up there. They don't want to come down to the AMR studio. Steve has more than once been down to the AMR studio.
Way to step up, man.
Where would you rather be than right here, right now?
Yeah. That's it, baby. He was on the Cholula hot seat. Cholula hot sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. Thanks again to Steve Gilbert. Take a break. Come back. More of your Twitter questions, including some injury updates right after this.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Less than an hour away from first pitch on a baseball night in San Diego. Beach towel night. Beach towel night.
Yes, it is.
That's Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. Thanks to Steve Gilbert for stopping by to talk Diamondbacks. Remember on Twitter, you can use the hashtag PadresSH. To join our conversation. Somebody actually asked me a few minutes ago, they go, why SH? I said, social hour. They said, oh. They didn't feel so good about asking that question after they did.
At least you didn't mention their name. Good job.
No, I know. I wouldn't throw Billy under the bus like that. Aztec Devin on Twitter wants to know, are there any updates on Will Myers or Josh Johnson? Why, in fact, yes, there are, Devin. So how about we do an AMR injury report? And we'll begin with Will Myers. Dennis Lynn of the San Diego Union-Tribune reports that Will flew to Arizona today, and he had his cast removed. And I did see Will in the dugout.
I did, too.
And he was in the dugout last night. So it's like a 45-minute flight, nice and convenient.
Well, he's got a soft brace on it, but the cast is off.
So that happened today, and he hopes to resume baseball activities.
He actually had a glove on.
Right.
Catching.
Yes.
The baseball. What?
The baseball. He hopes to resume baseball activities 4 to 6 weeks. The original timetable was 6 to 8. So he's ahead of schedule. Knock on wood.
Yes.
A little bit ahead of schedule. But yeah,
I just want to make sure he's 100% when he comes back. I want him back in the lineup day in and day out. That's what's imperative. Don't give me 5 days and then he's got to, you know, take another 2 weeks off.
When he gets back in the lineup, he doesn't get a day off the rest of the season.
Awesome.
Not until the end of the World Series.
He'll be the happiest person.
Oh, no, I know. He wants to play.
I'll tell you.
He's fun to be around. Corey Brock of MLB.com spoke to Josh Johnson. So the update on JJ is that he's encouraged about his elbow. He is pain-free. He's begun strengthening exercises and is now looking ahead to throwing.
He really is. And I talked to him the other night, Jesse, mm-hmm. and he was excited. He goes, hey, my arms never really felt better, to be honest with you. Never been stronger. And he really believes that. And he's really fired up about it. You know, and you got one opportunity to do it right, I think, after two surgeries. So, I mean, I buy into what he's doing. It's taking more time than maybe everybody wants, but he wants to do it right and give himself the best chance to go out and be the pitcher that he knows he can be if he's healthy.
All right, for Aztec Devin, that's the AMR injury report. American Medical Response is the emergency medical team for Petco Park and wants to remind you to stay safe, San Diego. To learn more about AMR, visit amr-sandiego.com. I want to do one more tweet before we go to the break. Our buddy Darklighter, mm-hmm. he's up there. We mentioned earlier home run derby next year before the All-Star game. He said there should be extra points in the home run derby for hitting the upper decks of the Western Metal Building. I'm fine with this. The home run derby needs to be blown up and started from scratch from a rules standpoint.
I agree.
So we can. I like taking a fresh look at something. Let's stop doing it the same way year after year after year just because it's always been that way. It's a made-up event. It's a fun pretend thing, the home run derby. It doesn't count for anything. Let's blow it up, start from scratch, and I like that. You get a bonus point for hitting it up here. You get another point for going to the beach, whatever it is, and you have a point.
Two bonus points if you go over 500 feet.
Love it.
Right?
We have a whole new scoring system.
I like this idea.
Blooper, can you get Manfred on the phone?
I'll try.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead and tweet him like you did Taylor Swift. Okay?
No, him.
Works
real
well.
I have an actual connection for him. I can do it.
You have an actual connection for him?
Yeah.
Really?
Really?
Maybe.
You can backed off real fast.
Here we go.
Backed off real fast.
All work. Right.
So we can add that to your list, your challenge list.
Okay, I like that one.
Taylor Swift,
yeah.
Rob Manfred,
okay.
Conan O'Brien,
mm-hmm.
Triumph, the Insult Comic Dog,
okay.
And Little John.
Yes.
Speaking of Little
That's
John.
That's right, Little John.
You want to be out here on Wednesday because it is Way Back Wednesday. This Wednesday, July 1st, it is a complete throwback experience at Petco Park. And after the 12:40 game against Seattle, stay for a live post-game DJ set from Little John.
Little John.
There he is. Buy your tickets today, Padres.com.
Are we going way, way back or way back?
Way back.
You don't know what year uniform they're going to wear?
Same as last time. All the way back Wednesday. It's that 85 to 89 uniform.
Just checking.
90,
maybe,
whatever.
I didn't know if they had different years.
No, this year it's like about that uniform.
Okay.
That uniform. So Padres.com/WBW, and you check it out. It should be a lot of fun on Wednesday against the Mariners. Take a break when we come back. How about some more umpiring talk? We haven't had enough umpiring talk this year. How about a little more when we return on Padres Social Hour?
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. We have talked an awful lot all season long about umpires.
Yes, we have.
And generally, the way it goes, not for good reasons, you know, because of frustration or confusion or whatever. So our buddy Sean at Padres Fan 1988 tweeted at us a little while ago. And it's a screen grab from a telecast elsewhere around the majors, and it sort of got some review statistics through a couple of days ago. So of replay reviews this year, 23%, I'm rounding, have been confirmed. 29 have stood. That's when they don't have the guts to overturn it. 47% have been overturned. And so he's basically saying, hey, umpire's doing a stand-up job this year, hashtag sarcasm. I'm going to defend the umpires here. for a moment. And I've gotten on them a lot this year, and I feel okay about getting on them when I have, because there have been some really bad moments for umpires this year. But to me, the 47% being overturned is not something to get on them about, because you're really only challenging when you think you know it's wrong, right?
Exactly.
So think about it. You know, the mechanics of the thing.
How many are right?
Right. That number is always going to be up.
Well, they still don't know the difference between a ball and a strike behind the plate.
Wow.
They don't.
That's neither here nor there.
Well.
Robot umpires?
You want to talk about umpires?
There you go. There you go. Dex isn't here, but he'd be awfully happy.
Next time I'm on the show, I want to work on my knockdown pitch. And Blooper's going to be the hitter.
I like it. Enjoy the game, everybody. Happy baseball night in San Diego.